This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Enterprise Biz Bytes. Have I already said that?
Yes,
I did, right?
You have.
Mm-hmm. I'm hungry. Ladies and gents, if you want to get in touch regarding the show, of course, we're talking about should there be a tourist quota. The number on WhatsApp is 0187-89-8899. Twitter or Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. Had a message come in via WhatsApp. It is a voice message, so we're going to play that a little bit now. Do you want to take it away, Ords?
Yep, give me a minute.
Just listening to the radio, your story about tourism in Malaysia and how it's the tourists who are often cleaning up the mess left behind by the locals. Also, as a foreigner who lives here, when we do pay that tax, we pay double, triple, or quadruple what a local pays to go to the same place. And yet the locals are the ones who are mostly throwing the trash. So my question is that fair? Should I, as a foreigner, have to pay up to four times as much as a local pays to go visit, yet I respect it, take care of it, clean up my trash, and they don't?
Good question.
Good one, Vincent.
Leave that one out there, folks. Let us know what you think. 0187-89-8899 via WhatsApp. We've got some more WhatsApp messages, Ords.
Yeah, so this is from Maggie, who says, yes, quotas, please. After nearly getting crushed trying to see the Qing Emperor's throne in Beijing and focusing on not colliding into other tourists instead of enjoying the sights, I am for quota or any other means of reducing chaos and even possible stampedes.
There you go. Arv, over on Twitter.
Yeah, so this comes from Zinwei, who says, same as Bhutan, that's how they kept the place so minimal. Polluted by the outside world.
There we
by
go.
By imposing quotas.
Imposing quotas.
Oh. I'm going to go over to the poll over on Insta Story now. We are now at 85% of you believe there should be a quota system, whilst the rest of you believe there should not be a quota system. Has that changed over on Twitter?
76% yes and 24% no.
So it's still the same. Mm-hmm. Right. That's where we stand, ladies and gents. We're asking you a very simple question. Should there be a tourist quota for popular destinations? Now, here's the thing. You know, we know we need tourism here in Malaysia. There's no denying that. We want tourists. What we want is responsible tourists, and we want to figure out a way of being able to make money yet still be responsible in the way in which we do it. If you have any suggestions of how we can do that, please do let us know. Now, we're going to move on to store. Oh, hang on.
Just 1 second about the thing about Bhutan. It's not exactly a quota. There's just a limited number of flights or flight capacity that goes there every year. So that's another thing. So I think that limits the number of people who go there. There is no, from what I can find, there is no official tourist quota by the royal government of Bhutan. So, so there's that.
Unless you get to the border and they say, sorry, the person before you was number 999. You've got to go back. Mm-hmm. Anyway, let's move on. We're going to move on to farmers now and how they're earning more on YouTube than they are from their crops. This is a really interesting story.
What does it say about the world we live in today when, you know, farmers are making more money on YouTube?
As right. YouTubers?
As YouTubers, right, than actual farming. So this is an article from Bloomberg that actually speaks about Zach Johnson, who grows corn and soybeans in Minnesota. And he's known on YouTube as MN
Millennial Farmer.
Yes, and Richard is now a fan and is going to be following the channel, right?
Yes.
So he says Zach and his wife Becky, they say they make about 5 times more in earnings than they make on the family farm in last year. So now they make 5 times more on YouTube. They became a video blogger 3 years ago to advocate for growers and the technology that they use. They have about 300,000 subscribers and they get about 50 million views under their belts. Mm. So that's quite cool. And they said that their experience reflects both the depressed state of the rural economy and growing consumer interest in how food is produced. So they say, yes, we use GMOs, we use pesticides, drain tiles and irrigation, and there are real reasons why we use those things. And he describes his role as bringing balance to a discussion often dominated by critics of modern farming practices. Now, the Johnsons aren't alone online. In rural communities across the US, YouTube is the most popular social media with 59% of people using it. And the kind of content that you can find that these farmers are actually putting out are like Suzanne Cook or WT Farm Girl on YouTube. She's racked up about 40,000 subscribers, just documenting her experience as a first generation farmer, learning and failing in front of the camera. She also advocates for more women to get involved in farming. There's also a US Air Force veteran, and he advocates for more veterans to join farming. He also wants to show that he raises his animals humanly and with respect. He is actually building a first-generation cattle farm from a dilapidated tobacco plantation, you know? Mm. So he's documenting that. There are also some people who do things, videos on honeybees and even simple things like how to sharpen your mower. You know, it's just the simple stuff. Now, when I read this, I thought this is so great because, like, imagine what something like this could do for our local rubber tapping plantations and ladang kelapa sawit. And, you know, imagine that. Like, if you have the communities in Felda and Felcra actually being able to go on YouTube and just see, you know, how you can sharpen your mower or, like, how maybe drones are being used to spray pesticide or robotics is being used to monitor crop, the quality of crop, or when it's time for yield and things like that. Wouldn't that be great?
It's fascinating. I went back and looked at Zach's first video that he uploaded 3 years ago, and it only has 53,000 views, right? Back then, 3 years ago. And now his latest video has around 1.2 million views.
Nice.
And so his first one is kind of an introduction to what he does, and he said it's going to be unedited, unscripted, and it's mainly this discussion about the farmer-consumer disconnect, like he addresses in the article, about how he wants to let people know, look, there are ways and means where we have to use pesticides and we have to use GMO, and there's reasons for that, and there are ways in which we are trying to prevent runoff of water that might be contaminated and how we can resolve that. And they're not just these people who do it and don't think about the community. They get together and they have these town meetings and they say, you know, okay, we understand that some of the stuff we're using, the pesticides, is running off the field and is running into the water. How do we prevent that? And they have these town hall meetings, you know. So what they decided was that they were I sound like a big fanboy now. What they decided to do was to plant certain crops during the winter that would soak up these chemicals, and they would remove certain nitrates from the field, and then they could get rid of these crops, you know, and it would safely remove a lot of the nitrates that were previously running into the you know, into the local community. He's a fifth generation farmer, right? So they've been there since 1876 or something like that. But the girl who has just started and is just doing it, that's really fascinating, because it genuinely is that, okay, we know where our food comes from, but we don't know what goes behind it. You know, Zach makes it look easy and his family make it look easy. They've been doing it for five generations. But this girl is like, I have no idea how to do half of this stuff. You know, and for people who really think to themselves, I want to go back to basics, I want to do all of these things, just watch a little bit of that, and it might make you not reconsider, but think a little bit harder.
It's not what you think it is.
But you're right, Ord. Seeing all these things locally, and how we source honey, and how we source palm oil, and how we source whatever, it would be really interesting.
Also, this is what YouTube was made for. It's for you to sit and learn about things that you would never like get into, or you would never be able to learn otherwise. Yeah. So it's supposed to be content from people who know exactly what they're talking about, instead of replicating other people's content.
The beauty of it is that it is not overly polished. You know, the problem we have with a lot of how are things done and how we here in Malaysia choose to do it is that these videos are like so glossy and overly produced, and it's like, this is the romantic way in which you can do, you know, farming
with the glamour shots of the sunsets shots.
And that makes it unappealing. It makes it look like something else, whereas what these guys are doing, it's literally, you know, dirt, feet in the dirt, dirt under the fingernails. It's hard day's work.
Have you ever been hooked to those videos where you have no idea what they're doing, or you had no idea something like this even existed, but you can watch like 10-minute long videos because it's so new and it's something that you've never seen before?
Yeah.
I watched the guy make a fire pit in the middle of a jungle somewhere out of mud. And then he crafted his own pottery. And just some random guy who was like, how do I survive out in the wild? And he was doing all of that great stuff.
But you learn something new.
But I've learned something.
Yeah. So it kind of takes you out of your own bubble. Because just say you're having a problem, and then you have a town hall, and everyone else there is having a problem as well. If you could just go on YouTube and find how some other people solve that problem, That would be awesome.
It's a gold mine.
Yeah.
Time to wrap up and move on to our next story of the day coming up after the break. But don't forget, what we're talking about is whether or not there should be a tourist quota for popular destinations. 018-789-8899 is the WhatsApp number. Twitter and Instagram, we're at BFM Radio. What was the guy's name who sent in a voice message via WhatsApp?
Vincent.
Vincent said, as a foreigner, should we be paying 3 or 4 times more than locals if the foreigners themselves are the ones doing the cleanup? Let us know. I want to take a short break. Music from Stephen Malkmus with Maggie's Farm on BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.